The subject of our meeting is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way of salvation. And there are two verses that I would like to read with you from 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, in the New Testament, chapter 2. 1 Timothy, chapter 2, and I'd like to read verses 3 and 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. And the second portion I would like to read with you is in chapter 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the Apostle Paul adds these words, of whom I am chief. We believe that the Lord will bless to us the words that have been read and those verses that we will refer to as we speak. We would think, first of all, that God's desire, it's God's, what God wants. You know, every day in our life, there's things that we want. We get up in the morning wanting things. We want to put on certain clothes. We want to eat certain things. We want, we want, we want. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 tells us what God wants. God wants you to be saved. God wants to save you. And that verse says, God our Savior who will have all men to be saved. Who wants to have all men be saved. And you know, if you are to be saved, you must first of all recognize that you need to be saved. And many people will go through life and they will not recognize they need to be saved. And why do you need to be saved? Well, the Word of God tells us that we need to be saved because we are sinners. And as we read through the Bible, we read that the Bible tells us that we are sinners. And if we looked at our life and we looked at just one day in our life, all the experiences that we have would point to the fact that we are a sinner, that we need to be saved. And in the Old Testament, we have these words. There is no man, no individual, who has not sinned. And that's in 1 Kings chapter 8. And then when we come to Romans chapter 3, we read that, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. So whether we read in the Old Testament, or whether we read in the New Testament, we read this. That every single individual in this world has sinned against God. It isn't long before a little baby is born and you see that little baby and it'll cry. Then there'll be nothing wrong. Nothing's wrong with it. What is it doing? Well, actually, it's telling a lie. And from the very earliest days, we learned to tell a lie. Did you do that? No, I didn't do that. That's not me. That's somebody else. And where did we get that from? That idea from? Well, we got that from Adam. Because God said, did you take the... No, it's not my fault. It's the woman's fault. And he told a lie. It was his own fault. He took it of his own voluntary will. And we are sinners, by our very nature and by our practice. Because of Adam's disobedience, sin entered into this world. And sin's twin is death. The wages of sin is death. And sin and death are twins. And they're never separated. And death reigns upon everyone. We're going to that. And you know, our experiences, my experience in life, and I can look back in my life and I can identify this time when I sinned, and this time when I sinned, and this time when I sinned. And you can do that in your life when you disobeyed your mother, or you disobeyed your father, and you disobeyed your teachers at school, and you disobeyed the laws of the country of Canada. And I sometimes, it's interesting to just stand and watch at a stop sign and see how many people really stop at the stop sign. And every time they go through that stop sign without stopping, they are proving that they are a sinner. And so our experiences in life show us that we are a sinner. And I think of, and what we need to do is to confess, I have sinned. And I think of that prodigal son in the Luke chapter 15, and he came to his father, came to himself, and he said, I will go to my father, and I will say to him, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And what was he doing? He was recognizing that every time he sinned against God. He may have sinned against his father, but first of all, that sin was against God. He had to confess it. And I think in the Old Testament, and Joseph was in prison, and he prophesied to the baker that the baker would be restored to his position. And years passed. And after the baker was restored to his position, the years passed. And there came a day when the baker had to say, I remember my faults this day. I remember my sin this day. I made a promise and I never kept it. How many times did you make a promise to somebody, to a brother or a sister or to a child, and you didn't keep that promise? And the Word of God says, better not to promise than to promise and not keep it. And every promise you have made and have not kept, you have sinned against God and against that individual. And I think of when we come over to the kings and we think of Saul, the first king. And there came a day in his life when he had to confess this, I'm a sinner. And what did he say? He said, I've played the fool. I have sinned. Because what had he done? He had exalted himself. He had lifted himself up in pride. And because he had lifted himself up in pride, what follows pride is often envy. And what follows envy is a strife. And what follows strife is seeking to remove those people to whom he envied. And he sought the life of David. And he said, I look back on my life. I have played the fool. I have sinned against God. Then I think of the thief on the cross, and he confessed his sin. And he looked upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and he could say, we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. We are receiving what our sins demand. we have sinned. But he turned to the Lord and he could say, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And in repentance, he turned unto the Lord Jesus Christ and he received that promise. Today shalt thou be with me. And so, because we are a sinner, we need a Savior. And that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read that verse in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to save you and I. And I think of the day, the night when I trusted Christ. That verse was impressed upon me. Christ Jesus came into the world to save me. He came to save me. I was that sinner. But you know, you need a Savior, because without him, you will perish. And if we read in John's Gospel, chapter 3, we read these words, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Without a Savior, you will perish. What does it mean to perish? It means to go down into hell and the lake of fire, to be forever separated from the love of God. Today, you enjoy the love of God, because God is drawing you in love unto himself. And when you trust him, you are the recipient of his love. You have accepted his love. And you know, today there are two classes of people. There are those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and there are those who have refused him. And the Bible tells us that without Christ, we are aliens and strangers to all the promises of God. Throughout our Bible, from the beginning to the end, there are promise after promise after promise to those who have trusted Christ. And we think of those who have rejected him. And there is coming a day when they will stand before him. And the books will be opened, and everyone will be judged according to their deeds. And we read, and whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast to the lake of fire. And some of those who will stand there and be condemned may say, but we quoted your words. They may know many verses of Scripture, but they have never trusted Christ. And they might say, we have helped many people. We have done many good deeds, but they never trusted Christ. And they might even say, we served in the church, but they have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. So you need a Savior today. Because you are a sinner, you need a Savior. Because death may overtake you, you need a Savior. Because you may lose your reasoning, you need a Savior tonight. And because God may stop striving with you, you must settle that. You should settle that question tonight. But we read in that first one, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And God made provision for you and I in sending his Son into this world. We could read in 1 John chapter 4, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 1 how Christ Jesus came. The Father sent him, and he came willingly, that he might save you and I. And God in mercy has reached out to you and I. When the Apostle Paul was preaching to the philosophers and the intellectual people in Athens, he said this, that in times of your ignorance, when you didn't know about God, God passed over your sins. But now he is commanding all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day when he will judge the world by that man whom he hath ordained. And we think of this. In those days of ignorance, there are times when we grow up when we are haven't really taken in the fact that we are sinners. When we have sinned against God and we haven't realized it. Many times you and I through a day may sin against God and we don't realize that we have sinned against him. And if we were to read in the book of Leviticus, we would read that God made provision for that. And he says there will be times when my people will sin against me and they won't realize it. But there will come a day when they will be made aware that they have sinned against me and they should bring this sacrifice. And God passed over. Because the word of God says the soul that sinneth it shall die. And that death sentence is past the first sin you have committed. But God in patience dealt with you. And Peter in his epistle says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long suffering. Not willing that any should perish. And so when Paul was saying, and our Bible says God winked at it, but God didn't close his eyes to our sin. What it is that God didn't bring about the judgment, the punishment that we deserved at that very moment. But he has given us an opportunity to repent. He has given you an opportunity to repent. And Paul, when he is writing to the Romans in chapter 3, and he says that God in righteousness was merciful and did not carry out the sentence, that you might have an opportunity to repent. In chapter 2, he says the goodness or the patience of God is to lead you to repentance. Have you confessed, has it been that moment in your life when you confessed, I have sinned against God and I need salvation. I need a Savior. Do you know, when we read through the Bible, we read through the Gospels, I read of an individual. And he came to the Lord Jesus. And he said, all of these commandments I have kept from my youth. But still I lack something. What do I need to do to receive eternal life? What do I need? And the Lord said to him, come, follow me. Commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on him. And as we read through our Bibles, we read of the provision for our salvation is found in the love of God. And we read that verse that has been given out all around the world. And I've marveled so much that the best known verse in the whole of the Bible is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And every time I think of that verse, the best known verse in the Bible all around the world is John 3:16. And I'd always think of this. The best known song in the whole world is that little song, Jesus loves me, this I know. And I have been told that that hymn, simple little hymn, has been translated into over 300 languages. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. And I think of this, the best known song in the whole world tells of God's love for us. And the best known verse tells us of God's love for us. And God's love was demonstrated for us in the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read in John chapter 4 and verse 10, and we read these words, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And you think of that. In spite of what we thought of God, he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for us. That's a big word, propitiation. That word propitiation, it really sums up the word mercy. God sent his Son into this world that he might be merciful to you and I. We didn't deserve mercy. Sometimes I read in the paper and there's people and they're demanding justice. They want justice done. But if God moved in justice towards you and I, you and I tonight would be in hell and the lake of fire because we have sinned against his holy law. But God moved in mercy towards us. And that mercy was shown in the propitiation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we come to him, we come to the place of mercy. And when we believe in him, we receive that mercy. I quoted that rich young ruler who came and he could say, I have kept all the laws from my youth. And he had come to the place of mercy. But then the Lord said to him, come follow me. And he turned away from the sacrifice for mercy. So far, almost persuaded to believe. Almost. And Paul, writing to to Titus, could write these words. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. No matter what we do, it will not save us. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. God in mercy sent his son. He sent his son to save you and I. And God is continually moving in mercy day after day after day to all men, that all men would have the opportunity to be saved. And Peter, writing in his second epistle, could write those words, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish." He does not want any individual to perish. But sadly, there will come a day when his spirit will no longer strive with men. And I think of those days, those examples in the Old Testament when God's spirit stopped striving. I think in the days of Noah, and God said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And it came to an end, and the flood came. And there were only 8 souls were saved. Then a few years later, God's spirit ceased to strive with man. And he built the Tower of Babel, and God came down and confounded their languages. God's spirit no longer strove with them. And I think of the fact that the children of Israel were to go down into Egypt. And they stayed in Egypt for 400 years. Why were they down in Egypt? All those years, well, God had said to Abraham, "The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." God, in patience, was dealing with them that they might repent of their evil doing. And so 400 years, God kept his people in Egypt, giving the people, the Amorites, an opportunity to repent. And we find the children of Israel now enter into the land. How many were saved? Well, we read of Rahab and her father's house. They were saved in Jericho. Then we read in chapter 6, I believe it is, of the Gibeonites. And they came down to Israel, and they were redeemed. Few, so few, repented and turned to the Lord. And then I think again of the children of Israel, and they had sinned greatly against God. And God waited patiently, and God gave warning after warning to them. And for 250 years, God sent prophet after prophet after prophet into Israel, the northern kingdom, to warn them of their danger. And then God sent the Assyrians, allowed the Assyrians to come into the land and to take them into captivity. And God is dealing with this world today, dealing patiently with it. Day after day after day, in patience, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I think again of this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. How many have trusted him for salvation? How many this evening across this country will have trusted Christ for salvation? If you know Christ as your Savior, tonight, don't go to bed tonight without stopping to thank him for his patience when you were a sinner, and he patiently dealt with you, and he brought you to the place of mercy that you might receive mercy, and that Jesus died for you. And that you might thank him, that from your heart you might worship him for his salvation. Shall we pray?